there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." While the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. What is that weird guy doing anyway? Well, you have these two nice pieces of wood up here I could stand behind, and I use a bent-up music stand. And some of you don't know this, but this is the original bent-up music stand that I used at the church downtown monument. For how many years? A long time. So I thought it was fitting to use it this evening as we contemplate the fact that there was no room in the inn. Let us pray. Touch us with your grace, O God. And your living word as it comes to us from Scripture, and your living presence that we feel in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Oh, it's been so many years since the taking of the census in Bethlehem, but I remember it, yes, I remember it as if it were yesterday. Ah, so vivid in my mind. Kings have come and kings have gone, and yes, I'm old now, I have to admit. It's so true. But at the time, I was quite young and I was quite impressionable. Oh, everything just floated around in my mind, the things that were going on in those days. My mother and my father have passed away. God rest their soul, but they were such wonderful people. I wish you could have known them. They were loved by all. They were just wonderful parents. And they loved me, and I knew it. I knew it. And they never met a stranger at any time in their lives. Our door was always open to people. Anytime, night or day, they were welcome. That's just the way my parents were. And I can remember vividly when we came to Bethlehem, to the inn at Bethlehem. Ah, oh, Mother was so young and so beautiful, and she was so excited about her new home. She just sparkled with excitement. Well, now, Bethlehem wasn't a very large town, I'm telling you that, but it was the largest town we ever lived in as a family. And, of course, for us, it was home. And my father, he was as proud as any innkeeper you would ever want to meet. Ah, that's the kind of a person he was. And it was a position of importance, a position of responsibility in the community. That was my dad, always responsible. He loved his work, and he was as happy as any innkeeper you would find anywhere. But I have to tell you this, at times he could be stern. And he could handle himself when he needed to. Nobody messed with him. It wasn't easy to laugh in those days. It wasn't easy to laugh at all. The country was poor. People were eating from hand to mouth. So much poverty, you cannot imagine it. Rome was always demanding. The tension and revolution were always in the air. Everything was unsettled. War was always at hand. Many people thought we were well off. Oh, you're the innkeeper. You're well off. No, simply because we ran the inn, we were well off. You must be kidding. We weren't well off. We had bills to pay. And like everyone else, we paid taxes and more than our share. And most of the time, I have to confess, the inn was not filled. And often people would get up early. Can you believe this? People would get up early and sneak out and never pay for their bill of lodging or food. So we weren't wealthy in any way, shape, or form. And the Romans treated us like slaves when they came through town. Yes, they wanted everything for nothing. Their noses were always up in the air. They thought they were better than everyone else. They made remarks about our stable. What do you mean remarks about our stable? We cared for their horses. We cared for their donkeys. But nothing ever seemed to please them, no matter what we did. They said, look at this place. It looks like a prison for our animals. But it was clean and it was warm. And we took care of those animals as if they were our very own. That's how much we cared for them. You see, if the Romans hadn't been there, there would have been room in the inn. And people might not have said the unkind things that they have said about my father and about our family. Why don't you understand it wasn't my father's fault? It was the emperor's fault. The emperor. He was the one who dreamt up this idea of a taxation. Everybody to their own country, to their own town. He was the one who dreamed about having the census. The emperor. The emperor didn't care. The emperor didn't care whether people were sick or blind. Handicap in one way or another. He didn't care, nor did he ever see the babies that died along the way and the mothers who never survived childbirth. He never saw them. And the emperor, I guarantee you, the emperor did not see your Joseph and Mary when they knocked at the door at the inn for a place to stay. I have to admit, we scarcely heard them knock. Oh, we scarcely heard anything, to be honest with you, because people were standing all over the place. People were crowded in that little inn of ours, and they were, oh yes, over here in the corner. They were telling stories and laughing and carrying on. Some were over here singing, as if they knew how to sing. They were loud, that was for sure. And then we had a small nucleus of people who were imbibing too much. And they were both singing and laughing. And Mother and I were kept busy all of the time with these people. They wanted more bread, more wine, more everything. Boy, carry our bags. Would you take care of our animals? Would you see that our every need is met? One demand after another. I could scarcely hear myself think. That's the kind of a time it was. And it had been like that for days. As you can well imagine, my father had the biggest job of all. All of us had to work, but my father. Long hours, little sleep, tedious work. Trying to keep people happy? Do you know what kind of a job that is? Just trying to keep people happy? And when he could finally answer the door, he nearly fell over a man sleeping in the doorway. And he opened the door, and there they stood. I was standing in the back. I saw him open the door. The man was tall and rugged and stately and he looked as if he were capable of any kind of hard labor one would impose on him. And she, oh my gosh, what a child. She barely even came to his shoulder. Just a wisp of a girl, I might say. And she was so very, very young. And when they asked my father for lodging, my father laughed and said, well, I'll be look inside, my friends, and see if there is an inch where a worm might rest. And if there is, you are welcome to it. The demands of the people were getting greater all the time. And Father began to close the door. He told the couple, there just wasn't any room. I have to serve the people who are here now, he said. Perhaps they could go down the road to one of the other inns. And I just stood and watched, ignoring all the people around me. I just stood and watched for just a moment. The couple fascinated me so. And they must have fascinated my mother as well. My mother. She ran out after them. Come back, she said. Come on back. Come back, please. Well, they came back all right. And when my father saw them coming, you should have seen the look on his face. He was angry. Well, my mother pulled him down to size and whispered something in his ear. Well, at first he was startled, and then he stepped back a moment, and then he laughed to himself. What's this? The young woman was what? She was pregnant and expecting her child just any moment? You must be kidding. Oh, my goodness. And his face changed and his eyes lit up. And he smiled and he laughed out loud. I think everybody in the inn heard him. And then, my father, the innkeeper, the one you've condemned for so long, the one you chastised down through the centuries, my father found a place for them to stay. Given by my father, I want you to know that. Oh, it wasn't much, but it was warm. It was protection. It was out back. Stable. We cared for the animals there. I made them comfortable with blankets and water and food. Oh, but I had to get back to the inn. There were so many people and so much of a demand. My parents wouldn't let me stay, but I wanted to stay. I just wanted to be a part of whatever was going on. Now, it was nice being with them. I have a funny feeling that even the animals understood. I didn't even know a baby was born. I have to confess, I didn't even know a baby was born until I heard some shepherds outside. And later on, I went out to see what was going on. I wanted to see for myself what was happening. And it was then, I have to confess, it was then that I caught just a brief glimpse of the child, a glimpse of the child, and it's imprinted on my mind forever. I remember it as if it were yesterday. And it's so many, many years ago. But I'm here to let you know that it wasn't my father's fault. Not entirely. He couldn't help it. Don't you understand the Romans were to blame? And maybe someday, somewhere, we will be rid of them and their tyrannical rule. Maybe someday we will be rid of them once and for all. Even now, they're up there at Golgotha, the place of the skull. And they're crucifying a man everyone says is innocent. A carpenter from Nazareth. And his name, I think the teacher's name is Jesus. Don't you understand that the Romans were to blame? And one day, we will be rid of them. One day. Amen.